All right, new commitments for the new year. You know, it's a time of the year where when in a fit of optimism, we make all these great promises to ourselves about what we're going to do in the new year. They refer to them as New Year's resolutions. You know, and usually we abandon all these by the second week of January. You know, so let's be honest. How many of us really kept to the diet this last year? Well, I have to say, this year can be different. I posted on Facebook this afternoon that we were having a New Year's service, a Wednesday night service this evening, and I posted under that, I said, come and hear a resolution that you can keep. And so here it is. This is a resolution I believe all of us can keep. It's to eat more and exercise less. Okay. There you go. Now you're free to keep that one all year long because that's the easy one, right? You know, I believe anyone would be able to keep that. But seriously, though, really, when we look at this evening I want to talk to you about some resolutions. But rather, instead of resolution, I want to talk about some commitments. Some commitments that I guarantee that if you follow them and keep them the best of your ability, they will make a radical difference in your life if you just follow through on them. In fact, what I want to offer you tonight is a way that will significantly change your life, not only this year, for all the years. And so here's what I'm going to suggest tonight. I'm going to suggest four commitments as we get into this message this evening. We're going to be looking at these four commitments. And if you make four commitments that God in His Word encourages us to make, I guarantee that you'll start 2020 in a lot better way. And it could become one of the most significant events in your life. In fact, I tell you that if you follow God's advice, that 2020 could be the best year of your life so far. So I want to challenge us, all of us, myself included, to make four new commitments for this new year. And so what are they? Well, the first commitment is commit to forget your failures. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to put the verses on the screen tonight. I thought we've only got like four different verses. We can play a little Bible hopscotch as we start out the new year this year. So Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. And verse 13 of Philippians 3 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So this advice from this area of Scripture here for us that Paul wrote, remember he was there in the prison cell writing to the church at Philippi. And this advice from God's Word has stood the test of time down through the centuries. See, I don't know of any more relevant or practical advice for us at the start of this year 2020, than that the advice that I've just read here in Philippians 3. We don't have to live our lives imprisoned by our past. We don't have to stay in bondage to our past. All of us have failed in some way in our lives, even over this last year. Keep in mind, we won't see our failures recorded in history on TV, but they are recorded in our hearts and our minds. They're there and they just don't seem want to go away. See, for many of us, our failures are painful memories. Maybe for you it is a memory of how you failed in a relationship. You made wrong decisions, said and did the wrong things, and the relationship ended. Some of you who are parents, probably know that you failed your children in some way. And it's more than likely that many of us know that we failed ourselves in some ways through this last year. And all of us should know that in some way or another we have failed God. So what's God's word saying to us here in Philippians chapter 3? What it's saying is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by our past failures. That we should not dwell on our past so much that it stops us from moving forward into the future that God has for us. And I believe it's a great future when we follow these commitments. I think that the start of the new year is a good time for us to rise to that challenge. To say to ourselves, I'm going to, with the help of God, forget my past. Forget what lies behind. Now, I know that these brains never forget anything, and I understand that. So I think when we talk about forgetting, I think another way to really look at it is don't hold yourself accountable for your past any longer. I'm going to be referring to a lot of things tonight about forgiveness. And when God forgives us, and it says that He forgets our sins, it doesn't mean that He doesn't remember Him. He doesn't hold us accountable for them. And we shouldn't be holding ourselves accountable for the failures of our past. Stop torturing yourself about what you did or what you didn't do. And then we can do that so much. It becomes a torture. This new year is a good time to stop being chained to your past failures. God is saying here in His Word that He doesn't want you to go through your life branding yourself as a failure. Over the years in counseling, I've counseled so many Christians time and time again that they know they're saved, but they still feel like they're such failures. And sometimes it's even more so because they feel like they're not pleasing God enough. They're not doing enough for Him. And that's why Paul talks so much about in Galatians about we can't earn our salvation. We're justified by what He did on the cross. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven totally and completely. When we became Christians, that forgiveness becomes and should become a reality in our lives. See, when we have received Christ's forgiveness into our lives, it allows us to forgive ourselves and forget our failures. See, we don't have the power to forgive ourselves. There's nowhere in the Bible that says to forgive yourself. But when we receive God's forgiveness, then we find that forgiveness for ourselves. So we don't really have the power to forgive ourselves. It's just through the receiving of God's forgiveness that we can be free and no longer hold ourselves accountable for our mistakes, for our failures. We need to do the right here this evening. Do that forgetting our failures, forgetting what lies behind. The second commitment that we need to make is to commit to give up grudges. See, I want you to listen to the words in Colossians. Turn to Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13, it's real close right there. I want to listen to these words from Colossians because in them you'll hear what this second challenge is about. I believe God wants us to rise to if you want to make 2020 a significant turning point in your life, start working on these commitments. They're not resolutions. They're commitments. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Just like we've been looking at in Ephesians, just as, or as Christ. Hear the same thing, just as, even as Christ forgave you. Christ forgave us completely and totally without any hinges attached. Nothing's attached there. So do you see the challenge here? God, in these words, has challenged us directly and personally to give up our grudges. This is what he means when he says, forgive each other. Forgive each other whatever quarrels you may have against one another. A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. It's a deep, cultivated thing. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes. And it's all about our attitude. It leads to unforgiving attitudes and then unforgiving actions. See, our unforgiving attitudes stir up in us and allow us to perform unforgiving actions that we would never have meant to if we would just forgave and moved on. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about here. Because harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. What you need to know is that grudges are dangerous because they're destructive. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. And grudges can even split churches. Let me say that if you know you're holding a grudge against someone, then God has something to say to you tonight. He says, give it up. Just give it up. Give it to him. Lay it at the foot of the cross. It's only doing you destruction. It's only doing you harm. See, I want to remind you that grudges are not just destructive. They are self-destructive. They destroy us. When you hold a grudge against someone, you will hurt yourself as much as, if not even more, than the one that you're holding the grudge against. They'll just be able to go on against their life like nothing ever happened. But when you have that grudge and that unforgiveness harboring inside of you, that bitterness, it starts to affect your health and everything else in your life. It doesn't hurt them as much as it hurts us. Make no mistake about it. If you're harboring a grudge, then it will eventually destroy you. If not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually. It will make you a bitter and twisted person. I'm sure you've come across some people like this. That, man, there's just no joy in their life. There's just this ugliness because it's bitterness inside of them. The book of Job in chapter 21 describes people who are like this. It says, have no happiness at all. They live and die with their bitter hearts. They live and die with their bitter hearts, and that's no place to be. Do you really want to be the way... Do you want that to be the way that you're remembered in those kind of ways? Think about the parable that Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven a huge, huge debt by the king, and then he refused to forgive someone for just a tiny amount that owed him. Jesus said his unforgiving spirit landed him up in prison. That grudge will keep us in bondage and keep us imprisoned. Max Lucado makes this interesting comment in one of his books. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prisons of anger, guilt, and depression in some way or another. God says to you in his word, don't sentence yourself to prison. Don't do it. Commit to give up those grudges. Set yourself free. As you give up your grudges, forgive each other whatever you have against one another. And again, forgiveness. Don't hold them accountable any longer. Just as forgetting your own failures in your past means you're not holding yourself accountable, don't hold others accountable. God doesn't hold us accountable any longer. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. See, according to God's word, the way that we give up a grudge is to forgive. That's the way to get rid of the grudge. It's just that simple. It's that simple. Notice what God is saying here. He's not asking you to ignore whatever the person has done to you. He isn't asking you to pretend it didn't happen. He isn't asking you to condone it, to pretend it didn't matter, because it probably did matter. What God asks you to do is forgive the grievance. He knows you're going to remember it and everything, and you don't have to say, well, I must have deserved that, because you probably didn't. It's just, he's not asking us to do that. He's just saying, forgive the grievance. That means to acknowledge how wrong, acknowledge how painful what was done to you, but then decide to forgive the person who did the wrong to you. Acknowledge that was wrong. Acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the pain. Don't try to say, well, it really didn't hurt, because it did. Acknowledge it, but then forgive them. Find that way of forgiveness. God says that deep-seated resentment you have against a person has to go. It has to be gone. So what better time to make that difficult decision to forgive them than the start of a new year? Than to be able to start out this year fresh and clean, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to that upward call, that upward goal in Christ Jesus. See, I've had people come in for counseling and they'll say to me and they'll say to God so often, you know, I can't forgive. I just can't. They've just made that decision. They've made that just choice. But don't tell God that you can't forgive, because what you really mean when you say that is you won't forgive. That's the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth and this truth will set you free. As long as you're lying to yourself that you can't and you won't, you're in that bondage. If Christ can forgive us of our sin, despite the fact that it cost him the pain of the cross, the suffering he went through, being separated from his Father while our sins were placed upon him, surely we can forgive others. We can give up that grievance that you have with someone else. The question is, will we do it? That's where we get to tonight. Now I want to look at the third commitment. The third commitment is commit to restore your relationships. Commit to restore your relationships. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. See, God wants us to check to see if our personal relationships are working properly. And here's how the Lord issues this challenge to us. Here's how he gives us this challenge. And I used to use this a lot in marriages with couples, with husbands and wives, when they would come in on the verge of killing each other. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you. When couples would come in for counseling, a lot of times I'd tell them some different things, that what they should do and what needs to be done and things, and then they would look at me and they would say, well, who should start? And I would just look at them and point at them, you. You know, you start, and then the other will come along. But if it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. See, the important phrase here, as much as it depends on you. As much as it depends on you. God, by using that phrase, he's actually personally challenging each one of us to do all that we can do to restore the relationships around us. The Lord wants us to do everything we can to restore any relationship that may have gone wrong in our lives. Anyone, no matter how long ago or how recent. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what other people have done, and that they might well not want that relationship restored. There's nothing we can do about that other than pray. Pray for God to do that work in their hearts. See, God recognizes that. God sees all things. He knows the heart. That's why he starts out by saying, if it is possible. Some things aren't possible in this physical realm. But we can be honest. Some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done. We have made some mistakes. See, when God's word says here that as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it's saying if you've caused a rift in a relationship, then you have a responsibility to do everything you can do to restore it. Now, that everything includes the one thing we all probably most have the most difficult find is asking for forgiveness. It's just hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to go and say, will you forgive me? We don't like to do that. It's something that goes against the flesh. See, I'm sure that I'm not the only person here tonight that find it hardest to say I'm sorry to people, especially those that I'm closest to. It seems like to them they're the hardest to go and say, you know what, I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry I said that way. I'm sorry I acted that way. The list goes on and on and on. I wonder how many relationships are not all they should be or could be simply because someone won't say, I was wrong. You know, who was it? There used to be a sitcom where the guy would try to say wrong, and I think it was Fonzie, wasn't it? It was Fonzie. He couldn't say wrong, you know. Or they can't say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You know, somebody go, Fonzie, who's Fonzie? Mom and Dad will tell you. See, I'm certain that some of us need to ask forgiveness for harsh words or cutting remarks that we've made that have really wounded others over the years. Maybe God is saying to some of us that this change of year is the right time to restore the relationship you've ruined by going and sincerely saying that you're sorry for those angry words or these selfish or unthoughtful thoughts or actions that you've done. See, don't be mistaken. It will be hard to do. I don't make light of this. It's not easy. But faith doesn't make anything easy, but it makes all things possible, praise the Lord. See, it's hard. It's one of the hardest, most difficult things, but it's one of the most significant things that you can do to mark this new year and to set off a firework of changes in your life. Admit your past errors in relationships and humbly seek forgiveness from the one that you have hurt as far as upon you, if at all possible. And see, for us, if we've caused that hurt, it's a little more possible than if they've done it, because maybe they don't want to make that reconciliation. Maybe they don't want to restore it. So will we rise to that challenge and make a commitment to restore those broken relationships in this upcoming year as we look at these things? Then the fourth commitment we see tonight is commit to turn your back on your transgressions. It's somewhat like the first, but a little bit different. This is those ongoing transgressions. See, I read about in the American Civil War an interesting fact that after the war was over, the slaves that had been set free, many of them decided to stay with their former masters and continue to do what they were told. So while I'm finishing this part up, turn to Romans chapter 6. They decided to stay with their masters. They were set free, but they chose to live as slaves. The New Testament says that is exactly how many times that's the way Christians choose to live. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But just like those former slaves, many Christians still choose to obey their master, their old master's sin. And that's not what the Lord would have for us. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not obey your former lust. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. See, this is the last challenge that I believe if we will rise to meet it, then this will make this upcoming year very significant for us, like maybe never any other year in the past. See, when God says for us not to let sin control the way we live and not to give it into its lustful desires, he is issuing us a challenge to turn our backs on our transgressions. Transgressions mean those sins that you know you're crossing a line. Transgression is to go up to the fence and there's a no trespassing sign and you just open the gate and go in anyway. That's what our transgressions are. That's what he's saying here. Turn your back on these transgressions. Christian writers used to talk about something called besetting sins. So what they meant by besetting sins were the particular sins that a particular Christian was prone to do time and time and time again. See, for most of us, when we're saved, we give up certain sins easily. Some things just God takes away. But there are other things that we know are wrong and that we really continue to battle with. Those are our besetting sins. Many of us end up choosing to give in to our besetting sins and end up living double lives with one foot in the body of Christ and one foot in the world, acting like, well, we can go ahead and do that one. It's okay. There was an article online about an anonymous pastor that described his battle with his besetting sin of pornography and how he gave in to that sin time after time after time until he finally was overcome with guilt. It just overwhelmed him. He couldn't go on another day. See, maybe that's how you've lived over the last year, constantly defeated by that same old sin, that same old thing that just keeps haunting you and knocking on your door. The story of a man that had a huge growth on his neck. He wouldn't do anything about it. Instead, he just learned to live with it. He just lived with that big old growth on his neck. And that sums up what happens with too many Christians in their attitude to their besetting sin. They just learn to live with it. It's just, okay, I'm just going to live. They're missing out on so many blessings. They won't do anything about their besetting sin and they learn to live with it. See, I have to ask tonight, is your spiritual life crippled because you've learned to live with a besetting sin? Today's the start of a new year. It's time to get rid of it. Leave it behind. Sometimes these things are not what we think they are. See, do you have a quick temper that you constantly give in to? Or a tongue that loves to assassinate other people's characters and wound their feelings? Have you learned to live with a critical, judgmental attitude and you know it's wrong? That can be a besetting sin. Is there some other sin that you keep giving in to? God here in his word challenges us to turn our backs on that sin, whatever it is. He can empower you to do it. He will give you the power. We can't do it on our own. That's why he said in John 15:5, apart from me, Jesus said, you could do nothing. He's challenges us to get rid of this. Turn our back on it. Stop letting it control the way we live. To stop giving in to it. He wants you to stop obeying your old master. Your old master. Let's be clear about this. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. It broke that power. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist sin. That means that we don't have to go into this new year still being defeated by the same old besetting sin. You can have victory over it. We all can have victory. God says you're no longer a slave to sin, so don't live like one or act like one any longer. See, if you will ask God's forgiveness for your sin, truly from your heart, if you confess it, if you agree with Him that it's wrong, see, when that you learn to live with that big growth on your neck, you start to believe that it's not wrong. You start to lie to yourself that, it's okay. That's not confessing it. You have to agree with the Lord that it's wrong. If you will ask forgiveness for your sin and His power to resist that sin, then this new year can be for you not just a new era in history, a new decade, but a new era in your spiritual life. Don't miss out on that opportunity. Don't miss out on it. So it all boils down to this. With this new year, it's just another calendar year. Changing, just another changing event, and the years roll by. For you, are you willing to rise to these challenges? Are you willing to rise to these challenges that are in God's Word and make these commitments and making this new century, this new decade, a changing event in your life, in your spiritual life? Are you willing to make these four commitments in 2020? Are you willing to forget your failures? Don't be in bondage to them anymore. Don't allow them to keep you imprisoned. Will you commit to give up your grudges? Let that bitterness go. Find forgiveness for those that you have been holding that anger and that bitterness and that unforgiveness for. Will you commit to restore your relationships? And will you commit? I believe this is one of the biggies here. Will you commit to turning your back on your transgressions? Will you stop opening that fence gate and saying, I enjoy this too much. I don't think it's wrong anymore. You just learn to live with it. Commit to turning your back on your transgression. If you do, this new year will really be something to celebrate. If you'll make forgiveness. If you'll make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about for you. Heart of what it's all about. Have the courage right here today to forget the past, to forgive others who have hurt you, and forgive whatever grievances you have. Forgive them. Ask forgiveness from those you have hurt. As it said there, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And ask forgiveness and no longer be a slave to sin. No longer allow that besetting sin to just continue to be that thing that haunts you and haunts you and just pours more guilt and condemnation. See, receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says there's no condemnation for us that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're feeling condemned, that's not from the Lord. But receive the conviction, because with that conviction comes the power to change, comes the power to repent, and turn away from those sins and be able to move forward with a fuller blessing, a fuller spiritual life, to be able to fulfill the commands of the Lord in such a way that you would never understand. This next Sunday, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the full armor of God. And as we think about the full armor of God, as we think about these things here, it takes the armor of God to be able to do these things. And yet they're available. Are you putting that armor on? Or are you just going out in your own strength, in your own power, in your own understanding? Because if we are, we continue not to do these things. But resolutions are never kept. But I believe if we can keep these challenging commitments that God gives us in these four scriptures, I believe we'll notice a huge difference in our walk with Jesus and our relationship with others. Life will be so much better. And so as we look at these areas and as we see these areas, tonight we're going to be able to take of the Lord's Supper. It's kind of a good time as we begin a new year on the first day of the year. And then as we think about these four commitments, to remember the commitment that Jesus had for us. He was committed to come and pay for our sins. He did all these things for all of us. He was committed to die for us. So tonight as we will partake, everybody can just walk up and grab the elements and go back to your seats and hold on to them, and we'll pray and we'll partake of them all together. So Father, I just pray for this supper tonight. I pray that, Lord, we would remember all that you've done for us. And as we begin this new year, we pray for power to keep these commitments as we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen.